2005 college training in Montreal, Canada, with Brother Titus Chu. David, the man after God's heart. Message 11.
So let's continue. Maturing, message 6, right? The topic is maturing through ruling in Hebron and in Jerusalem for 40 years. He was about 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So his ruling was 40 years. Then he died at the age what I'm today, 70, because he was a king in Hebron at the age of 30. Well, so he has early death. But anyway, we covered that in Jerusalem, right? When he was ruling in Jerusalem, he was anointed by the elders. Then you have a few key things. One, he regained Jerusalem. He gained Jerusalem, right? He attacking Jebus. That's the city's name. And then he gained it, changed the name to Jerusalem, and make that his capital. So since that day, this city was established, even up to now. In the eternity, it will be called New Jerusalem. So it's really something. Secondly, right, he received the gifts from Ford car. Ford car is not good enough. From Rolls Royce, right? The king of tire. So the good tire come over. Rolls Royce tire. So he know that the Lord confirmed that I should be the king. You have to realize that no matter how gifted you are, there should be always this kind of fear. Lord, I'm afraid. I'm not totally one with you. So he has this kind of cautiousness. Then he got in trouble by marrying concubines, wives, and while he overcoming Philistines, he takes their idols, and he and his army, not necessarily him, they take his idols. Then eventually, Philistines come again. This time was big. And the Lord told him, you go to the back. Well, the brother uttered very well tonight. They say, they're not afraid. Right? They work with God instead of getting to self-examination. Is God trying to punish me? Did I do something too bad? Or will God really be with me? There's no one fight with an enemy in the back. You always fight, confronting them. So what kind of thing is this? Yet here I have a statement, testify how the Lord in the heavens worked with the unworthy man on the earth for his testimony. Eventually, brother, I love the Lord for 50 years now. I testify the same. Sister, I see you now. You mind I see you after the meeting? I think about possibly it's easier. Huh? I have another brother to see, so two persons. Well, let's come back. Huh? In our mind, if we were so failed, God would depart. We didn't realize, no matter how failed you can be, God would always insist, I would bear my testimony. So he is, for his testimony, still with him. Then another big thing, he bring back the ark. Then another big thing, he desire to build the temple. This is interesting, because no one ever said a word to him. It's all he thought. And this expression, when he expressed, I desire to build the temple, this desire with him was from the very time, I believe, when he was anointed. When he was anointed to be the king, he would consider, if I would be the king over the kingdom, how this kingdom should run. The first thing he think about is, God needs a temple. So, point eight, David spoke to Nathan, the prophet, I dwell in the house of cedar. My palace is beautiful, come from Rolls Royce, right? But the ark of God dwell in the house of curtain. That's not good. How come God dwell into something so poor? Yet my residence is so beautiful. Do you get my point or not? Remember that. Never let the church use things cheaper than your household. That should be a principle. Always consider in what way the church, the meeting hall, or the church life could have the best. Then consider how do you take care of yourself. Then, because of this, the word of the Lord came unto Nathan for David. The Lord still didn't answer him directly. His answer is very interesting. If I read to you, number one, is it you who will build me a house to dwell in? Is mocking, joking, sentimental, or encouraging? Nobody knows. It could be something very encouraging, right? Oh, it's you who will build me a house to dwell in. It could be a mocking, right? It's you build a house for me to dwell in. What kind of thing is that, right? It could be a sarcastic, rebuking, right? You want to build a house for me to dwell in. No one knows. You have to read the Bible by saying, Lord, I worship you. You are so humorous. So different people read the Bible, they find different things. One thing is for clear. God is telling him, I don't need it. I do not need it. Whether have it or have it makes no difference to me. The heaven is my seat, right? Then the globe, the earth, is my footstool. And you want to build a little temple for me to get in? I'm too big for that. Basically, the whole thing is wrong. Yet, your desire, I really appreciate it. Brother, do you realize many times you love the Lord, you give yourself to the Lord, you make a decision to follow the Lord, you consecrate yourself to the Lord. And I tell you, when you do all this, many, many years later, you look back, oh, what a foolish person I am. I mess that up. Those who never make meetings never mess anything up. Do you understand what I say? A brother got saved, never make any meeting. That's why he never messed anything up. He only messed himself up. Oh, the more you love the Lord, the more you give, the more you bear responsibility. Sister, what's your name? You. Rebecca. Do you know that? You are so zealous. She's really zealous. Loving the Lord, loving the young people, loving the church. Rebecca, do you realize you and I, we two are on the same boat. So many times the Lord will say, are you the one instigated that? Well, usually I would answer, I say, Lord, a dead person never instigated anything. I instigate means I'm alive. Be happy about it. I may be wrong, but I'm alive, right? Aren't you happy about that? Oh, okay. So don't be bothered by anything you may think wrong. Then he said, listen. Now, I've walked in the tent and in the tabernacle. I was there always walking. My presence makes no difference whether there's a temple, whether there's a tabernacle, whether there's a tent. My presence is always there. I am with you whether you build a temple, temple, right? Yeah. You build a temple or not, makes no difference. I'm there. In other words, sometimes you really preach a good gospel and many got saved and you are so happy. Praise the Lord. Well, Lord, thank you for the victory you have given to. Then you look at it. Before the foundation of the world, they got saved already. You only bring them into appearance. So why are you so proud of it? Do you get my point or not? But then you still can tell the Lord, a dead person never help any kind of manifestation. You can always learn this. I say this to the Lord. Lord, I'm so happy I'm still alive before you. Amen. Am I professional messer up? Messer, is that English? No. So what is English? Professional mess. No, the person messes things up. A mess up. I'm a professional mess up. Is that right? Mess maker, whatever. I will tell the Lord, I love you for 50 years. I haven't no face even to say, I'm not. I am. I am. But Lord, I tell you, I couldn't tell you how thankful I am that you always give me life. Amen. So that I can always mess things up. Amen. Do you get my point or not? Amen. Have you ever seen a brother never make the meeting mess things up? He only messed the church life up in the funeral meeting. That's about it. Because he died. I tell you, brother, it's those who love the Lord, those who give themselves, those who consecrate it, those who declare the Lordship of Christ, those who say, Lord, we want you to do everything. We want to be you to be the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Amen. I tell you, that's where these people mess things up. Whenever I see a young brother, we are for one. Oh, there, hallelujah, another messer. But appreciate it. Appreciate. Think about here. Think about here. He says, I've walked in the tent and the tabernacle. So point three says, you foolish. Right? Point three said that, right? You foolish. You want to make me a temple? You nuts. You low IQ. You retarded. You stupid. It should, right? If I were God, I would say it this way. What are you trying to do, you stupid? Don't you know who I am? And you won't build me a little house for me to live in. I'm the God of the universe, you know that? How stupid are you? Shouldn't go that way. So the point is, it should be, right? I will make you appear as a big fool. I'll expose you through the history. Everybody's going to mock at your name because you're stupid, trying to confine God into a building. Isn't it? You laugh. Why you laugh? Why you laugh? That's why you laugh. Well, they laugh at you. Okay. But the Lord says something really attractive. He said, I will appoint a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them. In other words, because of these, I will bless my people, Israel, right? Amen. Then more than that, I will cause you rest from all your enemies and will make you a house. Amen. You want to give me a building? Let me give you a house. Amen. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous? Then I will set up your seed, that only one. Your seed, that's Christ. I will set up your seed after you, and establish his kingdom. He shall build up his kingdom. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Amen. In type is Solomon. In reality is Christ. Amen. He was telling him, oh, you are so good. Let me tell you, Christ will come out of you. Amen. Do you get my point or not? But ultimately, sure, you'll get Solomon. I will, then what? Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established before you forever. That's Christ's kingdom. And the throne shall be established forever. Okay, now we come to the point C. That's on the second message, continuation. Then the word of Lord came to David directly. You see, Lord richly blessed him. Yeah, on one hand, Lord was seems mocking, right? You want to build me a house? Oh, what a joke. Just like if my young kids begin to have first quarter, Dad, I'll buy you a hot dog. I'll begin to laugh, oh, you buy me a hot dog. Even your 25 cents from my pocket. And you want to buy me a hot dog. But do you know how happy I am? My daughter now is buying me a hot dog. Hallelujah. Do you get my point? Hallelujah. My daughter gave me a gift so big on the Father's Day with a big bear, which is I'm fat, right? open that says, you want to know how much I love you? This much. Aww. Oh, that whole thing is that big, so I put on top of the shelf, I look at it every day. That's just a few dollars. But makes me so happy. And these few dollars is my money, not his. because he never worked. It's my money, right? But even that, I'm so happy. David hit God's heart.
Amen.
God would say, yes, your proposal is kind of funny. you want me the God of globe, universe, to live in a brick building, in a building, in a temple. What kind of thing is that? However, I really appreciate the way you love me.
Amen.
I really. So brothers, love him.
Amen.
Watchman, he made one statement, touch me. He said, do everything you can overdo. Only love the Lord you can never overdo.
Amen.
You can love the Lord, the more the better. Then point C, the word of the Lord then came to David directly. So you have shed blood abundantly and made great walls. You are a big fighter. You shall not build a house unto my name. Behold, a son shall be born unto thee who shall be a man of rest. His name shall be called Solomon. Solomon means the son of peace. Just peace. Solomon just means peace. His name shall be called peace. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. Because of your desire, I would grant your blessing. Grant you the blessing for the building to be realized. He shall be my son, I shall be his father. And I will establish throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Actually, this again is pointing to Christ. He's telling him, you know, now you have double blessing. On the earth, you have Solomon. You have Israel as a kingdom. In the heavenlies, Christ will come, will be your seed, come to become a man on this earth. And he will establish the heavenly kingdom.
Amen.
So earthly kingdom, heavenly kingdom, both, I promise you, because of your desire for me. Isn't that marvelous? So David prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold. I cannot tell you how much is a talent. Someone told me once. You know, when we read, it's always shekels. How many shekels of this? Talent, one talent means how many shekels. Now he has prepared, I can't believe it. He said, prepare the house, 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver. And what? And brass and iron without weight. Then what? Then timbers and stones in abundance. Then what? Then the workmen. A lot of full-timers also coming in. Workmen. So don't look down at full-timer. I always like to see your brother become full-timer. Someone even said, some brother come to Midwest, and the parents get nervous. So, oh, he's going to Chicago or going to someplace. Well, Titus is going to make him a full-timer. Brother, I wish I can, but I just can't. But look how slothful you brothers are. I can't make you a full-timer, can I? Sister, look at me, can I? Oh, brother, but I say this. Listen, didn't you realize this time the full-timer was tested twice? Right? Did they test twice, right? One meeting and this morning. Don't you realize they are skillful? How do you say that? Here, they were called workmen. They're skillful workmen.
Amen.
When they minister, when they expound on the truth, when they touch experiences, something is constituted into their person. They are rich by Lord's mercy. Then, then let me read the verse. Now behold, in my trouble. No, typing mistake. Now behold, in my reigning, during my reign as a king. Now behold, in my reigning, isn't it? Who has the Bible? 1 Chronicles 22, verse 14. Can you read it loud? Come on, read it loud, quick.
Now then, in my affliction.
No, in my reigning. Do it again.
Now then, in my opinion.
Ready! Do it again.
Now then, in my opinion.
Ready! It doesn't make sense, right? You know how much gold, how much silver? 100,000 talents of gold. 1,000 talents of silver. How much that is? Wait, I don't know. But I can assure it's a lot. I mean, what? If he was a king, all what he have to do is collect tax, right? It's called the temple tax. You buy a sheep, temple tax. You get some milk, temple tax. Right? You rent the house, temple tax. You get the salary, temple tax. And then what? Isn't what Canadians doing to us? Even in Montreal, you pump some gas, Olympic tax. Olympic was 30 years ago, you're still paying tax. Oh, it's tax. But he says, no, it's not tax. If the tax is from people, it's when I was fighting,
amen,
when I gained victory.
Amen.
I see this gold, I see this silver, I see this brass, I see this iron. I collect them all, not for me, but for the temple of God.
Amen.
Oh, brother, I have to learn. Usually I mock it. Let me do it now to you. I'm deeply impressed. Are you deeply impressed? Usually I mock the brothers when you give message. Oh, what you know is I'm deeply impressed. But this time I tell you, I'm really deeply impressed. Aren't you impressed or not? Aren't you impressed? All these riches gathered. Seems every time he go to a wall, he will have a cave. It's not Mount Crystal. Hey, don't you have a
Monte Cristo?
It's not that one. There's a treasure there, right? David has a treasure. All the money he got, he put in there. People began to mock at him. Our boss really loves money. And nobody knows. He wouldn't use this to build his house. The house was built by Rolls Royce company. Gives them the tire. That's the money. That's why he could build a house, right? The house was not this. Everything he gained, he said, that is for what? That is for God. That's not for me. I don't need a good house. I don't care about a good house until the king of Tyre sent him some cedar. Am I right? Then with craftsmen. Then he somehow realized, well, the Lord is really with me. Then he looked at that. Well, these treasures should come out to build God the temple. You know, brother, spiritually speaking, gold, silver, brass, and iron are four aspects of our spiritual life. In our beginning experience, we experience brass and iron. Brass means judgment. God judges you, tell you this is wrong. Then God what? Produce in his throne. You know, his throne is iron rod. In his government, he disciplines us. He leads us. He regulates us. Out of the brass experience, iron experience, silver was produced. We are saved. Silver means salvation. You know, we have a ear temper, salvation. We speak too much, salvation. We waste all our time just enjoying fancy food. I'm not joking. I even ask myself, if next time you come to Toronto, no, Montreal, what would you remember? I will remember you, brothers, please, I assure you. But I also remember that 韭菜盒子啊, 馒头啊, 大饼啊, 面条啊, well, you don't know what is that, but I know what is that. Oh, if I talk about that, and my mouth water. What is this? So good. Brother, you know that? A man like me, even a matter of food, I need. The brother, sister eat with me, they laugh. Because every time I put down my everything, that means I'm done, right? I look at it. Then I was one more. You know what I need? Silver.
Amen.
Even on the eating, you need silver. Do you get my point or not? Your habit of living, your habit of speaking, your habit of reading, your thought, your thinking, your consideration, they all need to be saved.
Amen.
Then eventually, with the breath as judgment, with the iron as discipline or government, or with silver as salvation, eventually gold produced. So the gold is the smallest. Even the smallest amount of gold is how many? Is 100,000 talent. Remember when Lord Jesus gave talent, he asked 1 talent, 2 talents, 5 talent. So you can say, 100,000, how many is that? Do you get my point? That must be big amount, like a small gold mountain. I prepare all this gold, all these things. In what time? In my afflictions. Is that Bible, your Bible? Like in my troubles, same, in my afflictions. In other words, I go through hard times. I've been chased around. You get my point? I go from the wilderness, from this place, to that place, to that place, to that place. I went through fighting and fighting and fighting. Every time in this war, in this traveling, I better not use word traveling. I must use word odyssey. Odyssey means what?
Voyage.
Yeah. Voyage. Yeah, in my long odyssey. Some of you stingy brothers, I come to odyssey for one day. Well, praise the Lord, it's better than no day, right? You have to appreciate, you have to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. In all his difficulties, he grew as a man. Then in all his difficulties, he collect the riches. And eventually, these riches is for the building up of the temple. They will come to message 7. Now he's mature. He's really mature now. He's so mature, he'll be just like all of us. So there are trials of a mature leader. You know, 3 things are waiting for every spiritual man. No exception. Every spiritual man in your growth, eventually you attain as much as David. 3 things are waiting for you. Number one, you begin to consider, I don't need to be exactly like that. Do you get my point or not? For instance, I use a word, huh? Roman numer 1, consider himself as above the law. Yes, everybody got to do this, but not me. Think how spiritual I am. If I just pray a little bit, there's an earthquake. You know, if I'm that spiritual, for sure many, you brother need to pray every day, not me. You brother need to read the Bible every day, not me. I don't need to read Bible for a whole year until I die. I didn't know I died. You know, once you have any success, you enjoy the success. That success, the sign of the success, come from 3 directions. The first one is what? You feel that I don't have to do that anymore. I used to preach gospel every day, maybe not now. Every morning I rise up, maybe not now. You know what I mean? Every day I used to read the Bible, maybe not now. This is for a younger maturity. The older maturity is, I don't have to be in the meetings. Now meetings are for you brothers. Don't you know who I am? I'm an elder. Oh, you're joking. If I come, none of you are free. I better stay at home so you can be you can release your spirit. Remember that sweet sister said? She really says, I really appreciate what she said. What's her name? You know, sister says, my mother's not here. Wendy. Wendy, yeah. You must have an extremely good mother. Wendy, please, you remember that. You made a mistake. If your mother's here, you are released. I can assure you she's weeping there.
Amen.
You don't know how parents love you. But anyway, eventually I had a feeling, I'm a mother. For Wendy to release a spirit, I don't have to be in the meeting. No, or do you have to be? I walk around. Hallelujah. Meetings are for those who do not have food. I'm the supplier of the food. Why should I make the meetings? One day, it's interesting, I talked with Brother Lee. That was a hard time. Well, his statement shocked me. He said, well, Brother Titus, for 1.5 years, I believe the duration I said is right, I cannot go to a meeting in the church in Anna. Because they were somewhat bother him. Some sense would bother him. And the elders would not protect him. Then he made a statement. That I understand. I mean, a servant of the Lord goes through all kinds of peculiar things. Then he made a statement. He says, Brother Titus, he go like this. I also need the church life. I look at him. It's me need the church life, not you. You are the founder of the church life. You understand what I'm talking about? Why you need the church life? You are such a spiritual man. I appreciate, you know, our spiritual father. You know, even at that age, even the situation that hard, he says, Titus, you don't know. For I believe it's 1.5 years. I cannot go to any meeting in the church in Anaheim. I cannot have the Lord's table. Then he said, I also need the church life. Brother, that is a sign of real maturity.
Amen.
Too easy for us to think we're above everything. So what happened? Having an improper, of course, this a little bit, David gone a little bit too far, but the principle is the same. Having an improper relationship with Bathsheba. I think Bathsheba, of course, she typifies the church, so we better be a little bit polite. Why should she take a bath with window open? You understand what I'm talking about? There's nothing else David read walking around on the roof. Then, what's going on there? Don't you believe this girl is more guilty than David? Why should she do this kind of stupid thing? Why should she do it? Almost make you feel she's plotting it. She knows what time David do what. Almost. I better be careful because I will see her in eternity and she get mad at me. But almost make me feel Bathsheba. Oh, that's why her name is Beth. Right? I say, Bathsheba, what's happened to you? You tell me, what's happened to you? Why you have to take a shower or take a bath with the window open? Really, she shouldn't, right? Really shouldn't. But anyway, the fact is, an improper relationship produced and the child conceived. Then David tried everything to get Uzzah to be with his wife. Yet Uzzah... What's his name?
Uriah.
Okay. To get Uriah to be with her. Then Uriah was such a godly man. No, for what? So eventually David plotted get him killed. Oh, that was serious. Actually, that is a very sad story when you read it. I talk about it. The first part seems we all begin to laugh. But the process was so sad. Am I right? It got him killed. Then Uriah got killed through his plotting and taking her as his wife. So she mourned. Bathsheba mourned for her husband. After how many days? So she went to marry David, become David's wife. So what? Point A, the Lord's exposing. So the story given by Nathan. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, And the poor man had nothing save one little, how do you pronounce this word?
Ewe
lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. It's very touching. Even this story is very touching. Nourished up. And he grew up together with him and with his children. He did eat of his own meat, drink of his own cup, and lay in his own bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. That how much this man treasured that thing. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, and dressed for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. It's just illogical. In other words, right, how could this happen? You got everything, and they only have one lamb. And he loves the lamb so much. And you just take the lamb away. What kind of thing is this? So David got real upset. And David's anger was greatly kindled against that man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. Was really something. So what Nathan said at the last line, and Nathan said to David, you are the man. You stupid. What are you talking about? You killed your general. Take his wife. And that's all what he has. And you got all the wives and concubines already. What kind of man you are, and you say if that man should die, then you should die. You are that man. Why I say this to you, I'm not interested in the story. The story itself is not a beautiful story, it's ugly. But do you realize David's judgment was very clear? If someone did this, he should be killed. Yet he did it. Why he did it? Because he said, I don't have to be under that limitation. I'm the king. I tell you, with every leader, the tribe is the same. These are the trials for the leaders. Once a man become a leader, or once a brother is manifested, once a brother become a spiritual brother and appreciated, once brother, his ministry is well known, I tell you, there are three things waiting for him. Number one is, I am above the law. When I first got saved, are you okay?
Amen.
I know you're okay, but I tell you, if we go a little bit, go over a little, 9:30, is that okay?
Amen.
Well, let's see, y'all. Let's see if that really be okay. When I first got saved, I make the prayer meeting quite faithfully. So I go to prayer meeting all the time, not once. If Brother Lee came back, every time I saw Brother Lee, walking with Silas Wu. Do you, brother, know who is Silas Wu? The brother in Boston. He's not far away from Montreal, Silas Wu. I said they to walk, talk. You know, I got jealous because I like to join in the walk and don't have to go to prayer meeting. Do you get my point? Then I sadly go to the meeting, Lord Jesus, we need your mercy. Well, they're out walking outside. Lord, we need your mercy. They're still outside. Lord, we need your mercy. Till the meeting's over, mercy didn't come, they're still outside. Then I thought, oh, that was the instance, only once. So the second time, the prayer meeting, I go, same, they're walking. Same, talking intimately. Oh, brother, that is the first time I realized, if you're an apostle, you don't have to make the prayer meeting. That's a small thing, and very logical, because for Brother Lee to perfect Silas Wu, it's more crucial for him to see in the meeting, Lord, we look unto you. Do you get my point? So he's above it. So, and he exercised healthily. But not all the men can be as spiritual as Brother Lee. So if you're just a little manifested, you're just a little above, people show you some appreciation, all of a sudden you realize, you can say something that other people cannot say. You can do something other people cannot do. Eventually, brother, Do you realize David fell into that trap? He fell all three, actually. The first one is, I am above the law. I know many spiritual principles, but I don't have to carry it because I am David. You know, brother, this is a sad thing. Could I remind you? In your life, you can be spiritual, but never go beyond the law. You understand what I'm talking about? Never go beyond, because I'm spiritual. Therefore, it really doesn't matter. Oh, someone needs to pick up somebody from the airport. That's not me. Only in Montreal, the elders are chauffeurs. Is that English? Chauffeurs. You have chauffeur elder. You're not from Montreal. All the other, I see no locality has chauffeur elders. Ask Brother Ren, or you, I'm going to pick up so-and-so. I'm going to drop so-and-so. I'm going to go to the airport. So when they ask him, I said, isn't Brother Xie, you are here. I said, isn't, are you, aren't you live right by the airport? I had the impression, right? I said, wow, Brother, isn't Brother Xie live right by the airport? Why don't you ask him, just pick him up and bring him over? He said, no. I want Brother Xie to be in the meeting. Oh, brother, I tell you, I cannot explain to you how much admiration and jealousy I have toward Brother Ren. I pray, Lord, when could I be such a brother? Always take advantage, right? When do you go? How long you haven't been in the airport? Is it about 4 years? Now it's your turn. Go! How long have you been in the airport? Yesterday. 24 hours already. Go! How long have you been in the airport? I just come back. Have you had a cup of tea? Yes, I have. Have tea already. Go! How about me? I need to prepare something. My mind is occupied. Brother, I say this in a way that's simple. But you, brother, do not know how heavy I am in my heart. You know why many local churches are in trouble? You know why local churches overall is in difficulties? Because it's too easy for many of us to consider, including me, to consider we are above the law. We don't have to do it. Think about it. Even I drive to the airport to pick you up, wouldn't you be ashamed of yourself to see all the white hairs show up in the airport? For your sake, I don't have to come. You know, brother, we are interesting people. This is why David, you know, when Nathan tells him the story, yeah, it's just a lamb, right? And David says, in the name of what? He said, as the Lord lives, in other words, in the name of Jehovah, as the Lord lives, the man that had done this sin shall surely die. And Nathan said to David, you are that man. What are you talking about, surely die? You are that man. You think you're above the law. You think you can do everything you want. You think you can damage other people. You think you can ruin other people's life just because you are the king. No! God is still here. Amen. Because of this, the Lord's judgment, through Nathan the prophet saying, the sword shall never depart from your house. It's really serious. Never depart. So even today, you can see how hard is Israel's life. And then secondly, I, the Lord, will take your wives, and I will do these things before all Israel and the sun. Under the sun, someone will sleep with your wives. Do you get my point or not? In other words, I will expose you to the utmost. I will let someone defile your wives publicly. And eventually that happened, right? Thirdly, the child Bathsheba has is born unto thee, shall surely die. I will not let him live. Wow, what a judgment. Brother, afraid of God. Don't take advantage. Then, point C, David repentance. I like that. David repentance according to Psalm 51. Can we turn to Psalm 51? Psalm 51. That's David's repentance. Maybe I just read the verses I gave to you. It's good enough. Point one, in verse 1-2, he said,
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. By your love, God, have mercy. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Have mercy. Now, I say grace is no longer enough. I sin so badly now. I sin so bad. So, Lord Jesus, I need no longer just your grace. I need your multitude of mercies. Amen. Your mercy upon mercy upon mercy, because I'm really terrible. I need your mercy. Then, verse 5, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, or in my mother's womb I have sinned. I'm a sinner, even in my mother's womb. So did you see, there's a big argument about this verse, right? How can you sin in your mother's womb? But here it didn't say, I have sinned, so that he's telling God, in the conceiving of my person, I am a sinner. Sin is right in my blood, God. Do you know that? If I don't sin, it's a miracle. If I sin, it's normal. It's all your mercy protected me that many times I can be in righteousness. Because I have a sinful nature. How good that is. How good is your repentance? Then point 3, verse 10 through 11. Now this is recovery version. The translation is much better. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. I'm so unclean now. Give me again. Give me anew. Create anew. Clean heart, O Lord. And renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Amen.
Or straight spirit. The spirit that is straightforward, no longer crooked. I didn't realize what? My heart is in trouble. I didn't realize that my spirit is crooked. So now, create in me a clean heart. I renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. Please, even though I sin so badly, I'm such a terrible person. Please still keep your presence with me. And do not take the spirit of your holiness away from me. The day I was anointed, the spirit came. That is spirit of holiness. Now please, I failed. I even wouldn't dream I would have failed to that extent. If someone tell me beforehand I would have felt like this, I would tell you, absolutely I won't do it. But I did it. Do you get my point? I couldn't believe I fell in such a dread way, pitiful way. So he's, please still keep the spirit of holiness. Then what? Then verse 17. The 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Now, O God, I cannot offer much to you anymore. If I say I give you ox, do you get my point? If I say I give you a sheep, so what? But how about I offer myself to you? With a what? With a broken spirit. I'm so sad. I'm so pitiful. I'm so evil. So in my spirit's broken. There's nothing whole. I am so totally beat up. I don't know what to do. So the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. For I'm so broken before you. So contrite means what? Sorrowful. Yeah. When I'm so broken, so filled with repentance, God, you will not despise. How spiritual this man. Concerning failure, he has lost 19. You know what is 19? 19 is the capital of China. Japanese take over 19. That's its That's this experience. Even the capital of the country is gone. But the country is not defeated. David said, so concerning failure, I wouldn't even believe I will murder somebody to take his wife. I can't believe it. But my heart's broken. I come to your presence. I dare not say have grace. I will say have mercy. Multiple mercies, God. Amen. What a prayer he has here. Right? Broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Then eventually, on the verse 18, right? Verse 18, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Please, I am terrible. Remember your own testimony. Do you get my point? Still remember your testimony. Build the walls of Jerusalem. I failed, but may your testimony not fail. Oh, I like it. Many times I fail. We think that testimony ought to fail, so we are not that shameful. His prayer was, I failed, but may your testimony not fail. So do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. You still could have good pleasure to Zion, in spite of me. You still can build the walls of Jerusalem despite of me. I'm just like this, but how much you still can do. Well, I like this. Do you like this or not? Amen. I think this time, after this, many of David's sins was cleaned up. Lord really worked on him, so he come to the second thing now. What is second thing? Are you okay?
Amen.
Practicing favoritism in his ruling. In other words, you know, the leaders always have favors. You know, Brother Lee sometimes joking about some brothers, he would say, oh, you think I'm joking? He really mock, you know. He said, oh, Brother so-and-so smells so beautifully. So we don't know what he's trying to say. He said, every time when he smells, the older Brother so-and-so get caught. Do you get my point or not? He's mocking at the relationship of two co-workers. One's a leader, one's younger. He said, oh, the younger one smiled beautifully. And every time he smiles, the leader hearts get caught. In other words, the leader forget his judgment and consider, this is the best. This is the best. What is that? Favoritism. You know, sister, don't get upset, huh? I have favoritism about you because I love your dad. Sometimes the Lord will say, don't! I will say, yes. Because of your sister, I like Jose more. Oh, you think we're joking? We're human beings. He's my son-in-law. You think I should look at all three co-workers? You three co-workers, hallelujah, all the same. Brother, then I become a liar. For sure I favor to my son-in-law. A good part is I'm not much, so there's no great honor to him. Do you get my point or not? If I'm president of Indonesia, he can be a multi-billionaire already. Oh, the leader, practice favoritism. A favoritism. How do you say that?
Favoritism.
Favoritism. Okay, favoritism. You know, brother, many times when we serve, I like this one. I don't like that one. I like this church. I don't like that church. I love this brother. I don't love that brother. I don't love that brother this much. Brother, we are selective, sister. Are we? You are the serving one. I didn't realize he did that much. You don't even have to do it, though. You don't have to go think about it. Let me think about whom I should give favor at. And whom I should give a long face. And I decided, right? I should love Nathan. And I should give a long face to you. What's your name?
Jonathan,
yeah. So every time I say Nathan, I praise the Lord, Nathan. Every time I say Jonathan, brother, you don't have to think about it. Only a nut think about it. It's just you. Even you're serving, you don't even know how. Someone you just like. Someone you just dislike. Oh, it is not easy for a leader. In his ruling, he does not practice favoritism. Because the leader could have favor. You don't think that's a small thing. All the people understand. Oh, he can be favored. So even some brothers study what brotherly like. Even, you know, I heard a brother study. Sit in brotherly's presence, take notes or not take notes, which is better? Well, if you take notes because what he said is worthwhile, right? Well, you don't take notes because you want to listen, right? So which one make brotherly more happy? When I found out that, you know, if you take notes, he keep on speaking because he wants you to write down everything. You don't take down notes, you can fellowship. See, if you want fellowship, don't take notes. If you want, listen to him, take notes. Oh, eventually they study. When we come to brotherly, take notes or don't take notes. We even, not we, huh? Some brother even start, I know that. What kind of facial expression you should have? I don't say this light. Some brother realized, whoever see brotherly, hi brotherly. Some brother always like this. And we found out, brotherly appreciate the one who's always like this. Then eventually many brother go brotherly like this. You know, brotherly, I don't say brotherly practice favoritism. But we are funny people. One brother, I better not say too much. But anyway, very hard for you to be a genuine Jesus lover. I only love Christ. But anyway, I tell you, whenever the leader practices favoritism, for sure party will be formed. Because those who try to win favor will have parties. Do you get my point? And unrestfulness will come here. Among the children, there'll be unrest. Okay, here. Number one, he improperly forgiving his son Absalom and give him the opportunity to declare the kingship in Hebron. Number one, allowing Absalom to come back to Jerusalem after his exile due to the killing of Absalom's brother Amnon. Think about it. He has a son. This son has something special. Number one, he's so handsome. The Bible record him from top to toe, there's no spot. The whole body is like a carved, you know what I mean? Marble, carved, artistic work. Then his hair, if you cut his hair off, it has a certain weight. You cut my hair off, there's nothing. You can see how rich his hair. Rich hair, handsome, tall. And David loved him. So he killed his brother. After he killed his brother, he ran away because even according to law, he should be executed or he should be punished. Then David began to miss him. Absalom, bite of apple, Absalom. And Joab beside him. Oh, you're missing him, right? So he found a way to bring him back. He should never bring him back. Even if you say, he's my son, I cannot kill another son. Just let him be in exile. Do you get my point? He bring him back. And more than that, point B, allowing Absalom to prepare chariots and horses with 50 men running before him and to stand by the gate of Jerusalem where he won the hearts of the people. No, now he go out. You know, he came back, right? In the beginning he came back, I think he went to see David. Hi, Dad. And David looked at him, son. Yes, Dad. Lift up your head, let me look at you. Dad. Then David's eyes blinker love. You know, I really miss you, son. You miss me? I really miss you. You miss me? I really miss you. You miss me? Oh. Son, I love you. That's right. you love me. You too come, walk in front of me, or walk behind me. Come on. Come on. I'm the prince. On this side, on this side. You know, you just think about just a few days. All of a sudden, I become a boss. Sorry. Sorry. He got 50 men walk ahead of him with chariots and so forth. Then, I tell you, he stands at the gate. Don't think David doesn't know. David knows everything. He stands at the gate. Every time people come and says, oh, I've been abused. He says, hi, so bad, I'm not the king. I know how to take care of your case, but now go in because I'm not the king yet. Even go that far. Do you think David is blind or not? I think he knows. But because he loved him, the love caused him to be blind. He doesn't see how dangerous that is. So eventually one day, Absalom told David, I want to go to Hebron because I have a vow to what? And he says, oh, go, my son. So point C, allowing Absalom to go to Hebron where he revolted and made himself the king. He became a king. He revolted, revolution. I'm the king. I tell you, there's so much happening in between, but we don't have time, huh? So, okay. For instance, let me show you how mature David was. When he excelled, right? The priest carried the Ark of Testament because he treasured it, right? Followed him. He said, no, you go home. If the kingdom God has given to me, I will come back. If the kingdom God didn't give to me, even that thing follow me doesn't work. Isn't he spiritual? Isn't he a very spiritual man? Isn't his spiritual understanding very high? Very high. You know, at that time, you know, when the priest tried to follow him, he said, no need. I believe he has a realization what God spoke to him through Nathan. The sword will not depart from your home. He knows it's coming. I was judged. But he didn't realize, no, it is not God judge him. It's more what? His favoritism. Why should you like Rex, sorry, you're my son-in-law. And you, brother, here, have forever, by Lord's mercy, shown you brothers, because Rex is my son-in-law, listen to him, you stupid. Never. But it's too easy for us to practice in a certain way. Do you get my point? So eventually, he left 10 concubines there. I believe that's somewhat he understands what God is doing. So Absalom slept with his 10 concubines on the balcony. Let all the people see. Remember what God told him? I'll do so with your wife. Let all people see because you have done this terrible thing. I tell you, he really learned something. But it doesn't mean his favoritism is gone. So point D. In the king's, that's page 3. Are you there? In the king's hasty exile, the king was informed the death of Absalom. For he was running. Then Joab, who brought Absalom back, right? His hair is too long. You know, twinkled or whatever. Yeah. On the tree. Right. Tangled. So Joab says, let me practice a little bit. 8. That's it. Got him killed. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? So finally, the Absalom was killed. The death of Absalom. The king mourned greatly. I can't believe it. When the person was practicing favoritism, he has many sons, right? Why you have to love this son to that extent? What's happened? He mourned instead of fear. No! We go back to Jerusalem. He began to cry. Oh, my son Abraham, Absalom. Oh, my son Absalom. I wish not you die. I wish it would be me die. Aren't you stupid? If you want to die, just stay in Jerusalem. Let him kill you. Why you run away? You run away because you don't want to die. Now your enemy got killed. You love him so much, you will pray this kind of nonsense prayer. You will talk this kind of nonsense talk. Oh, my son Absalom. If I can find that, can we find that? The prayer. Okay, under D, I think the fourth line, right? And the son was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. Well, for a son died, to weep is right. So wept, right? And as he went, thus he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I have died for thee, oh Absalom." Don't you think you should spank him? If I were there, I'd just go to him, grab his beard. "Wake up, you stupid David. What are you trying to do?" I tell you, favoritism is hard. Favoritism is hard. You know, favoritism develops parties. Favoritism develops hierarchy. Favoritism will provide opportunity. Who's in charge? Who will not be in charge? All this rub away the organic development because the king's favoritism. And eventually, he prayed in such a stupid prayer. "Oh my God, I had died for thee. Oh Absalom, my son, my son." And eventually, point E, his commander Joab said to him, that was very good speaking, "Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants," that including me, "which this day have saved your life and the lives of your sons and your daughters and your wives and your concubines. If that you love your enemies and hate your friends, for you have declared this day that thou regardest neither princes or servants. You don't care about anybody else. Seems you only care for Absalom. For this day I perceive," look at what he said, if Absalom had lived and all we have died this day, then had pleased thee well, right? Why don't we all commit suicide? Let your son be alive, you stupid." He's really stupid, isn't he? So he rebuked him. Oh, that was good rebuking. This is one part in the Bible I like to read. That's human flavor. Sometimes Bible is very spiritual. There's a real man. And Joab typifies the flesh. Even the flesh can handle it. Don't talk about the spiritual man. So he told him, "What are you doing? That if we all die, you'll be happy, right? We save your life, your son's life, your daughter's life, your concubine's life, your wife's life. And yet here, you want us to die, right?" Good. Amen. Then he said this. He gave him good comments. "Now therefore, arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto thy servants. For I swear by the Lord, if you go not forth, there will no tarry one with thee that night." Because everybody becomes shameful now. They win the victory, but the king was crying, "Oh Absalom, oh Absalom." Isn't he stupid? And this is a man after God's own heart. He felt so bad, but he's still not defeated. Do you get my point or not? And so they'll be tarried this night, and that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth until now. In other words, all the people will depart from you. Then where would you be? Aren't you still a king or not? Because of this, of course, David did something and restored the situation. Do you get my point? So second thing, are you okay? Yeah. Okay, thirdly, taking pride with his accomplishment. This is a funny part. You know, every leader likes to count how successful they are. Just like every businessman likes to count how much money he has. You know, in a big city, world-known big city, there's the most crucial block, most expensive block. I think has about 5 high-rises. One day I was there, the brother told me, "I bought one." Oh, I was quite impressed. I said, you bought that building? He said, yeah, I bought one. Then second, he said, I bought another one. Then third, he said, I bought another one. Then he made a comment which is very nice. You know, he's a very precious brother. He said, brother, sometimes I look on the other side of the street, I'm surprised. In this most extreme block of this big country, 5 buildings, I have 3. Isn't that marvelous? Well, I think businessmen ought to count. If a businessman doesn't know how much money he has, for sure his business will be in trouble. But a spiritual man cannot count. You know, brother, it is too easy for us to say, how many people do we have? Take a pride with our accomplishment. You know, your brother likes to stretch out. Brother, let me tell you, the Lord is surely with us. God bless us bountifully. Let me tell you, in Montreal, one brother saved from Miguel. Don't you have a Miguel? Miguel. Okay. One brother saved from Miguel. And one sister came to the Lord from, I forgot all the name now. Yeah, it's like a music instrument. Isn't it? That's why it's accordia. That's a Concordia. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a university like a music instrument. And another sister got saved from Concordia. Another sister got saved from what? Another saved, brother saved from what? Another is on the way. Brother, let me tell you, in the last short 2.5 months, we are bringing in 4.5 to the Lord's recovery. Oh, Lord Jesus, 4.5. In how many billion people? Yet for some reason, we are tiny people. We like to, am I right or not? How are you doing? Fine. The Lord is with me. Why? Yesterday, I'm able to pray with somebody. I hope he will be saved. He's safe or not, you don't know. But you prayed. You quickly, you counted as, then you walk. Look at the elder. Brother elder, hallelujah! But of course we sing hallelujah and me. Both need to be praised. Am I right? Hallelujah! Brother, let me tell you. This afternoon, on the street, I met somebody. I preached gospel to him. Brother, you know what happened? He got saved! The elder was just occupied with something, with a big headache. She said, that's very good. That's very good. You were there. Have you heard what I say? The elder said, I know, I know. You got somebody safe. You know where? Yes, on the bus, or on the street. Yeah, yeah. Brother, you have no love. Remember? 100 sheep lost one. He would come. The shepherd would come. Give up the 99 to find him. Here, I brought 1 sheep back. You have no feeling. You are not even qualified to be an elder. You should leave the eldership to me. You think I'm joking? We like to count. Brother, count Lord's blessings right. If you get somebody saved, sister, right? You get a sister, she's reading the Bible. Are you the one reading the Bible on the bus? And someone says, oh, are you reading Recovery Version or something? She's reading the Bible. So she, this sister, brought a sister to the church meeting. Brother, that is something you ought to be joyful. And it's you ought to testify. But, remember this, BUTL, they're real big. But what? But don't abide in success. I like to tell you, hey, brother, in the good olden, golden days, 51 years ago, when we were in the high school campus, I'm preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. In a few months, over 100 got saved from one campus. 60 baptized into the church life. Then you ask me, who are they? I don't know. Where are they? I don't know. Are they still alive? I think so. Because life is eternal. Do they still love the Lord? I hope so. Are you praying for them? Ah, brother, I have so many people to pray. They are too remote. I don't pray for them anymore. Brother, yet we, for some reason, they are so remote to us, we just cannot forget our success. Sister, are you a high school, junior high, or college? You. You're a college. Do you understand what I say? Oh, we are funny people. We love to count. Okay, so let's come to this to finish tonight, huh? Counting the people. Then, the typing has some mistake, huh? Oh, sorry, I think there's one mistake in, I should have told you, that is page 2.6. Page 2.6 should be D. It's another part. It's Bathsheba. I forgot. For some reason, we didn't even read it. Bathsheba bore a son, and David called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. So eventually, there's a second son come. But that should not be 0.6. It's not Psalm 51. Do you get it? It's another major point. So point D. Now let's come back to this. Huh? The king want to count from Dan even to Beersheba. Dan is most north. Beersheba is most south. Huh? Then, you know the second part. Even Joab, he is a sign of the flesh, advised David. Now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be, 100-fold, and that the eyes of my Lord and King may see it. In other words, see the blessing of the Lord. Isn't that good enough? Do you get me? Why must you count? But why does my Lord, the King, delight in these things? Count. Then he says, no, count. So Joab counted the total number of Israelites. Well, it's very impressive. It's not here? Yeah, it's here. And Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king. Could you believe that? I think there's a... maybe I'm too much. There were in Israel 800,000. Remember when the first was 300,000. So in not many years, they more than doubled. Am I right? Then, of course, the other side, I just don't know whether because it's a Jude or so people blow up the number. You know, the church life, sometimes they do that. So, yeah. 800,000 valiant men and draw the sword. And the men of Judah were 500,000 men. That's really a little bit too big, right? 11 tribes, only 800,000. One tribe's 500,000. That's what I guess they blowed up. But the Bible recorded, we better believe it. Right? Well, this is where you read the Bible. Then David beseeched the Lord to take away his iniquity, as he done fully. He also realized, don't I have the realization from the first day? God says, you are the king, but I am reigning. Remember? Is that English? Reigning? Did I pronounce it right? You are the king, but I'm reigning. The real king is me. So since he's the real king, why should I count the number? So he had a bad feeling. Right? So David beseeched the Lord to take away his iniquities, as he done foolishly. Then the Lord gave him three choices. Can we turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24? What are the verses, Stephen? Chapter 24. Let's see. It will start with verse 10. Oh, this is the last chapter, huh? Chapter 12, verse what?
Chapter 24,
verse 11. When David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David saying, go and say unto David, thus says the Lord, I offer thee three things. God make deals. You know, we usually preach gospel that God never make deal. No, God make a deal with him. And God says, I offer you three things. You choose one. Choose this one of them that I may do it unto you. So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 year famine came unto thee in thy land? Or will thou flee 3 months before your enemy, where they pursue you? Or there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now advise, and see what answer I shall return to him who sent me. I will tell the Lord. And verse 14, And David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord. I like this. We can fail. After you fail, tell the Lord, Lord, I'd rather fail under you and not under anything else. You know what I mean? To be under Lord's discipline is much more blessed than to be disciplined by the world. So, Lord, I'd rather be under you. So let us fall now into the hand of the Lord. His mercies are great. I know he has mercy. And let me not fall into the hand of man. So what? So the Lord sent the pestilence upon Israel. Let's just read the point. I think we can quickly finish it. So 70,000 men died by pestilence from Dan even to Beersheba. The whole country has pestilence there. So the Lord sent the pestilence upon Israel from morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. Because of this, could you believe something happened? So, point D. David built an altar by purchasing the threshing floor of Arauna. Is that the word you read it? Arauna? Huh? Arauna? Arauna, to stop the pestilence, which became the site for building of the temple. He really got defeated this time, right? Where he was so defeated, something happened. So, and Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up. Is that real? Is there a typing mistake or not? Real and altar unto the Lord. Is that English? Yes. That means raise up altar unto the Lord. Huh? In the threshed floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. Huh? And the king unto Arauna, nay. And he said, nay. The king said to him, nay, no. I will surely bite of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord, my God, of that which does not cost me nothing. I want to really pay you a high price if you can sell the land to me so I can offer to God to stop this pestilence. Right? So David bought the threshing floor and which means a place for the taking harvest. Threshing floor, huh? And the oxen and the 50 shaker of silver. That's why the talent of silver, thousand talent of silver, is hard to imagine. I don't know how many shaker is a talent. Shaker is smaller than talent. There must be a lot. See, the 50 shekels of silver, he bought such a big land. And David built an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offering and peace offering. So the Lord was entreated for the land. And the plague was stayed from Israel. So the plague stopped. You know what's happened? Can we read the last part together, last 3 lines? Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan, Arauna, the Jebusite. Could you believe in that? Eventually, all his failure, God used it to get the site to build that temple. Well, I think it's good enough. We finished David. I know we didn't, but we finished. We have no choice. Do you like him? Do you like him? I would say that even with the last chapter, all the failures, I still say, David, I love you. Amen. You are surely a person after God's heart. Amen. You fail as much as we do. So we look at him, we can say, we do not read the story, we cannot identify. We can say, David is just as us. Amen. The things we fail, he fail also. However, he never get defeated. Amen. He always fighting, whatever that is, to the best of God's interest. Amen. May we be this kind of person. Amen. Lord, we want to be after your heart.
Amen.
So that you can gain what you desire.
Amen.
May the Lord have mercy. Can we have one brother pray, close the meeting.